Psalm 78 is a passage that I read in my devotions in the last couple of months, and in it there's a verse in our text that jumped out at me. It will not be the focus of my message today, but it certainly caused me to think. It caused me to stop. It caused me to consider my life, my ways. It's found in verse number 33, verse number 33 of Psalm 78. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. And I looked at that passage, and it's interesting, he consumed them. God consumed them. God filled their days with emptiness, burned them up, so to speak, with emptiness, and burnt their years up with trouble. And I asked the Lord in my personal time when I read that verse, Lord, how do I avoid that? Because I don't want my life to be summed up with days of vanity and years of trouble. I don't know about you. I read that verse and I said, that is not the biography I want of my life. And it's not the biography you ought to want of your life. And so, as I read that, the Lord began to lead me into a series that I'm beginning today with the church, that if I'm not growing, then indeed that is the testimony of my life. And so from that, I began to ask this question: how does a Christian stay on the path of Christian growth? How does a Christian stay on the path of Christian growth? You know, passions in our lives dictate where we put our time, don't they? They cause us to exercise our thinking in a certain direction if we have a passion about something. Recently, we met with the young men, and it was very interesting to listen to them and their different burdens or passions, I would call them. You know, Todd Keith, very, very set on being able to go to Afghanistan or one of those regions and reach an unreached people group with the gospel in a very dangerous territory and translate the Bible. And Brother Eric, very interested in working with youth and young people. And we walked through all the guys, and they're all a little bit different in their focus of what the Lord is putting on their heart to accomplish for him. But it's becoming a passion to them. It's becoming something that their mind is thinking about. They're engulfed in it. They're consumed with it. There's a drive behind it. There's a passion. I have a passion for pastoring. That's one of my passions in life, is to pastor, the calling that God gave for me. I have a passion to see young people trained up in families to serve the Lord, and families being strengthened by the Word of God and living a holy life. Those are passions of mine. I believe that we all ought to have a passion to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And I believe that in order for this passion to develop in our lives and in order for us to experience spiritual ongoing growth, that there are patterns that must be developed or habits that must be developed in our lives to remain on this path. Of course, someone gets saved and they don't know where to start as far as growth, and so we often teach some basic initial steps of growth, such as getting baptized and attending church faithfully and reading your Bible and learning to understand the Scriptures for yourself and feed yourself and praying to God and witnessing and becoming a member of the church and getting involved in a ministry and learning to give and tithes and offerings and so on. But the truth of the matter is, the crowd that I'm preaching to this morning, most of those things you are involved in. Most of those things you've learned. You've maybe passed by some of those mile markers and been able to take those steps and go further in your Christian life in those areas. Is it possible to reach a plateau in the Christian life? Is it possible just to get to a certain and then just kind of coast? I believe it is. And so what are patterns in my life and in your life that you can develop that will keep you growing as a Christian? I think that's a vital question to answer in this new year. What are patterns in our lives to keep us on the path of growing in a spiritual way? There are certain patterns established in my life. One of those patterns is a shower. Every morning, I wake up and I take a shower, and I take a long shower, especially in the winter, especially when it's cold in that hot shower. It's a pattern in my life. I take time in God's Word before the day gets out of hand. I start with God in the morning. I believe that in our passage, it's interesting that when they remembered God, that they began to inquire of Him early, at the start of the day. If I'm coming to the office, generally I kiss my wife before I come to the office. It's a pattern of mine. There are certain patterns that you have in your life. Patterns are habits. Patterns are things that we set in our life as markers, as things that become a daily part or a habitual part of our life. And I believe that there are some patterns that must be developed in your life if you're going to stay on the pathway of spiritual growth. In the medical field, they will often come upon someone in an emergency situation. Brother Larry, Aaron, Nancy, some of our nurses in our church, you would be able to relate to this. They come on a situation where someone is unresponsive. When they come upon that situation, they're trained to do a number of things, and I'm not in the medical field, but I know that they're trained to check their pulse. Let's find out if they have a pulse. When a person is unresponsive, they are at times unconscious. They can't tell you what hurts. They can't tell you what happened. You don't know the seriousness of the situation. They're just unresponsive. Maybe they've just passed out, or maybe they've had a stroke or a heart attack, but being unresponsive, watch this, listen to this point, being unresponsive is an unknown and critical state. If an emergency personnel comes upon somebody that's unresponsive, it's immediately a critical state. Like, I need to find out what's going on. We need to get help for this individual as soon as we can get help for this individual. And when we become unresponsive to God, we get off the path of Christian growth. In other words, could I say it this way? You can't be growing spiritually and be unresponsive to God. If you've become unresponsive to God, then you need to develop the habit of becoming responsive to God again in your life. Or you need to overcome unresponsiveness. That's the thrust of the message this morning. It is vital that each Christian here, as we look ahead to this new year, understand that if we are to grow in our faith and grow in our relationship with God, we must commit to be responsive to God. As a pastor, I reach out to someone who hasn't been in church. Sometimes I reach out with a text. Sometimes I reach out with a phone call. Sometimes I reach out with a card. Sometimes I reach out with a visit. Sometimes I reach out with a voice message. I'm burdened for them. I'm not sure what's going on in their lives. I want to check in. I want to make sure that everything's okay. Maybe there's a pressing need or a burden that they're facing. Maybe there's a physical thing that they're experiencing. Maybe they're slipping spiritually. And I reach out. But if they don't respond to one of those things, I reach out again and maybe again. But there comes a time when somebody that is unresponsive, my reaching out, I don't want to become a pest to them. So what happens? Eventually, I stop reaching out. Eventually, I make a judgment in prayer that there are many others to reach out to. There are many others that need attention and time and care, and this person's not reaching back. This person's unresponsive. At this point, my ministry to them, my ability to serve them, my ability to lift them up, encourage them, challenge them, becomes limited. Do you understand that word? Limited. In our text, if you look at our text, these people had become unresponsive to God. And the Bible says in our text, back in Psalm 78, verse number 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, once a relationship is hindered, growth in that relationship is hindered. It can't continue to grow. When there's a wall in a relationship and we don't resolve it, by the way, this happens in marriages. By the way, this happens in family relationships. This happens in parent-child relationships. But once responsiveness stops, all growth comes to a halt in that particular relationship. Responsiveness is important. And when we stop responding in a relationship, we really tie up in knots the other person. Like, what do I do? I've tried. Some of you have been through this in different relationships in your life. And there's no response. There's no response. What's communicated by unresponsiveness is, watch this, I really don't want the relationship. That's what's communicated. Or I don't want the relationship right now. Or I don't have time for you. I don't need to hear from you anymore. Right? You're not important. Lots of things are communicated. And so as you start the new year, you must see this truth today. A commitment to spiritual growth in 2023 means a commitment to overcome unresponsiveness to the Lord. It means I get my heart in a place to hear from God and respond to God in my life. That's what it means. Psalm 78 is filled with God's people being unresponsive to His voice, to His chastening, to His acts. All of that, just unresponsive. Look at verse number 8 of Psalm 78 as you're in that text. The Bible says, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They were an unresponsive generation to God. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They didn't want God's way. They didn't want God's words. They didn't want God's activity in their lives. They didn't want God. In verse number 10, the Bible says they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They're unresponsive. And yet in verse number 16, the Bible says He brought streams also out of the rock. Listen, all that God was asking them to do and all that God wanted to do in their life was not bad, was not evil, was not with a mindset to make them miserable. Here it says He brought waters, streams also out of the rock, caused waters to run down like rivers. And their response was what? And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse number 29, drop down if you would. So they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew us the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. So now the wrath of God, the goodness of God is manifested. I did this. I provided water for you. I brought water out of the rock. Boy, the streams flowed so that you could see my goodness. And they sinned yet the more. So now God flips the switch, and now the wrath of God is upon them here in verse number 31. And what's the conclusion? Verse 32, they're still unresponsive. They sinned. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous work. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity and their years in trouble. How does a life get there, preacher? A life gets there by a Christian that stops growing. Essentially, a Christian that stops responding to God. That's how days are filled with vanity and years with trouble. When a Christian gets there. Could it be that the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone this morning? And you are beginning to sense in this message that as you look at your life, your days are filled with vanity. And your life seems to be fleeting away in trouble, full of troubles. Could it be that the Holy Spirit would draw you this morning to begin to respond to God again in your life? Notice in verse number 34, when he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. There at least seems to be, although the rest of the passage seems to say that they went back and forth spiritually, but there at least seems to be in these two verses a time, a day, an hour, a moment that they remembered God, that they began to seek after God, that there was a heart change that began to yearn and seek after God again. There was a responsiveness that was revived. May God revive responsiveness in our hearts. You see, God's capacity and grounds to work among men are limited by our capacity to respond to him. The thrust of the passage is this: God wanted to do more. God wanted their days to be fulfilling. God wanted their days to count for eternity. God wanted their days to reach new heights. God wanted their days for their faith to take new steps in their Christian life. God wanted their days to develop a spirit-filled life, but they limited God. And our unresponsiveness limits our growth before God, and it limits what God wants to do in our lives. If we hear God and are responsive and obedient to him, we allow God to enlarge our capacity. We allow him to subdue our will. We obey him again. It is vital. Christian, would you hear me this morning? It is vital that you stay responsive to God and you stay responsive to others. And could I say this? Those go hand in hand. When I'm not responsive to God, I'm not as responsive to others as I should be. When there is an openness with God, when there's a transparency with God, when there's a fellowship with God, when there's a responsiveness to God, boy, when there's this open relationship, then there can be this open relationship with others. It is vital if we're going to stay on the path of Christian growth that we understand that we must maintain a responsiveness to God. 1 Kings chapter 18. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. And if Baal be Baal, follow him." And the Bible says they answered him not a word. They were unresponsive. They were confronted by the prophet. They were given the opportunity at that moment to make a decision and say, "My faith is in the one true God." But in that moment, they made a decision that says, "I'm going to be unresponsive." Christian, if you have been unresponsive to God, God's trying to awake you in this new year. God's trying to get your heart in the right place to be responsive to him again, to hear from him again. The measure to which we grow in life is the measure to which he can be expressed through us. What does God want through your life? He wants himself to be expressed through your life in every different way. But if you're unresponsive to him, he can't do that. Our growth is measured by our heart commitment to hear and respond to God's voice. Let me say it again. Our growth is measured not by necessarily a step, although certainly we can look back and see where God led us. Watch this: when we heard him and was responsive to him, we can see steps that God led us in. But our growth is measured by our heart commitment to hear and respond to God's voice and God's actions and even God's chastening in our lives. So how do we overcome unresponsiveness? I'll give you two thoughts this morning. Number one, a craving. We must develop a craving to hear. In the New Testament, the seven churches were told, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When Jesus spoke in the parables in the New Testament, he often ended a parable with, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, hear, O Israel, hear. Here's the key word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If they were going to believe right, if they were going to avoid pagan worship and the multiplicity of gods, they would have to hear truth. And they would have to believe and they would have to act on that truth that there's one God. And so that was instructed. They were given that instruction. In Jeremiah chapter 2, when the prophet speaks in verse number 4, he says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Wait, he's going to speak the word of the Lord. But before he speaks the word of the Lord, you know what his opening sentence of his message is? Hear the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to give it to you, but hear the word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes desire, the imperative tense there, the commanding tense, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? That ye may grow thereby. When my cravings are right, when my cravings are about the word and about hearing from God's voice and listening to God and being sensitive to that voice, guess what? I am going to grow. Desire this that ye may grow. When my cravings right, my growth will be right. A craving to hear. Paul wrote to the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 1, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, there's the word grow, increasing in the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we already stated it, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about this? The Christian faith has not come to us in images. We like images, don't we? We like screens. We like graphics. Brother Jared just sent me over a preview of the vision booklet. And he sees it. I don't see it. But he can put things in graphics. But you know what? God didn't speak to us in graphics. God spoke to us in words. In words. Words that illuminate. Words that speak, that give us understanding. Words that last. Words that clear up confusion. Words that give direction in a life. Words that prevent you from an evil path that's going to hurt you. Words. God spoke to us in words. And Samuel said, old Samuel had the desire, the little child had the desire to hear, didn't he? When he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. But 14 times in the scripture, the Bible uses the phrase, would not hear. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 43, so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear. In Zechariah chapter 7, and verse number 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. In Acts chapter 28, verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Is it possible, Christian, this morning that you could become more sensitive to God than what you are? This problem was evident for the believers in the epistle of the Hebrews. Hebrews is an in-depth book, isn't it? And so the writer had written about salvation under the order of Melchizedek, and the writer paused in that message, and he stated, when ye should have been teachers, I have to give you the basic elements of the Word of God, and I'm paraphrasing here. But he says, in that passage, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Christian, personal question this morning. Are you becoming dull of hearing from an almighty, loving, caring, personal, powerful God? Imagine if a preacher stood in the pulpit today and said, I'm having a problem preaching this message today. But the problem is not in my ability to explain it. The problem is with your ability to hear it, because your heart has become insensitive. That is what the writer of Hebrews was saying to the audience that he was writing to. I would like to preach what I'm going to preach, but you're dull of hearing. Dull carries the idea of being lazy or slothful or hard of hearing. He's not talking about an external problem where you're starting to lose your physical hearing. He's talking about an internal problem that's with the heart. Their desire for God's word was fading. The Bible became uninteresting. It became boring. Something else was more attractive. Something else was more exciting. Something else was more thrilling. Something else was more stimulating. Something else was more important. Something else caught my ears and my attention more than the scriptures. At one time, they were eager and hungry to hear, but over time, they became dull of hearing and could no longer grasp deep truths. Is your eagerness for the word long gone? Is your hunger not what it used to be? You say, preacher, what happens when dull of hearing sets into my life? Well, one, it causes you to, you don't reach the potential that you could reach. My, oh my. Have I ever seen that over the years? Somebody's got potential, the sky's the limit in their lives as to how God can use them. They are gifted, they are trained, they are prepared, they have had everything, every Christian privilege that you could have. I hate the word potential. The reason I hate the word potential is I watch many, many fall short of potential. What can you trace it to, preacher? Somewhere along the line, a heart became unresponsive. I don't know all the facets of that. I don't know what all contributes to that. I just know when the heart becomes unresponsive, we become dull of hearing. And he said, by this time you ought to be teachers, in verse 12. They should have grown in the word to the point that they could instruct others. There's potential there, but I'm not reaching that potential. Why am I not reaching that potential? You're dull of hearing. It underscores the necessity to grow up in the word so that all of us can spiritually edify and influence others. Do you understand this morning the preacher is not the only one that can talk the word to others or give biblical counsel to others? The truth is, if I'm doing my job and your heart's in the right place of responsiveness to the word of God, we all are developing to be able to take the word of God skillfully and be able to help somebody with it. Every believer in this church ought to have that as a goal of growth. Lord, help my heart to be so responsive to your word that I grow. Help my appetite to be right so that I'm so filled with your word that I can pass it on to others. Hebrews, there's some of you that should be doing that, but you're not. Secondly, we're unable to digest deep spiritual truths. I have to give you milk and not strong meat, in verse number 12. Thirdly, we're spiritual infants. The Bible says in this context, he's a babe. If we can only stomach spiritual milk instead of the word of righteousness, then we'll remain immature infants. Part of growth is righteousness. When we can't stomach strong messages that dictate what's right and what's wrong, it's revealing to us something, how shallow we are spiritually. Spiritually mature people can handle the meat as well as the milk. They can handle when the preacher really gets down to business and starts making application that's going to meddle with some lives instead of running out the back door offended. That's the characteristic of a mature believer in this passage. Immature, dull believers are gullible and tossed here and there and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Only those who remain sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and invest themselves in the Word of God will be able to examine all things and discern good from evil. Because the Bible says when you exercise yourself in these things, you'll be able to discern. Boy, you're not going to get carried away with culture. You're not going to get carried away with worldliness. You're not going to get carried away with everything that is being quote unquote Christian today. Turn to Psalm 40, excellent prayer for all of us this morning. Psalm 40, verse number 6. It's a messianic psalm. When we come to a messianic psalm, it means it's referring to Christ. But generally, the psalmist is writing and speaking of himself as well as speaking of Christ. And so there's a dual personal application and also reflects something that's very, very, shows us who Christ is. And so we get to verse number 6 of Psalm 40. And the psalmist says, sacrifices and offerings thou didst not desire. Look at the next phrase. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. As if to say this, God, you just want my ears. And if my ears are in the right place and you have my ears, you have my hearing, true hearing with a heart application, a heart that's willing to apply, then the sacrifices and offerings won't be as necessary, for you've opened my ears. Christian, could I invite you in this invitation this morning to an altar to pray, God, open my ears to a greater degree. When you look at that verse of Scripture, if you look at the word opened, you will find that it means to dig. Like somebody digging a well. Dig. Taking that shovel and removing dirt. Removing dirt to get down to water. Dig. Dig. The psalmist was saying was God had to do some digging in order to get his ears and his heart opened again. I believe in a new year, God may have to do some digging in some hearts this morning and this year. You may have to remove some things. The psalmist seems to imply here that there was a time prior to God opening his ears where he was deaf. Or he had things in his ears, and watch this, in his heart, in which God could not speak. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 50, I'd like you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 50. Could I give you some other application about hearing this morning? A craving to hear? If God's word is divine, would you reason with me for a second? If God's word is divine and all other books are human, do you agree with that statement? God's word is divine and all other books are human. Then God's word deserves at least double the time of all other books in my life. I'm a reader. You'll go to my house and you'll see next to my chair a whole slew of books. Went on the trip, didn't get a lot of reading time, but I took books with the intention to get reading time. I love to read. But boy, God dealt with me about this. Wait. My book is for me. And for it to be on the same level as just another book on the shelf that I pull off with the same frequency that I pull off another book, shame on me. My craving for God's word ought to be greater than any other book. Your craving for God's word ought to be greater than any other book. Would you, as you start this year, build a habit, a pattern of giving more time to the book, God's word? Maybe you've been spending time in the mornings, but maybe you could amp it up and spend time in the mornings and evenings. Maybe instead of reading the book that you're really in love with, the fiction book that you really enjoy, or watching the program or listening to the radio to what you really enjoy, maybe you could replace that time with hearing from God in his word. A craving for the book. Would you consider this decision before God today? God, if I don't open your book in a day, I won't read any other book. Or I won't expose my mind to any entertainment or any social media if I don't hear from you. If I don't have time for you, God, I don't have time for any of this other stuff either. By the way, when it comes to raising children, teach them to listen to God and get in the book. Have an expectation that when you're talking with them, they take time to listen. Parents, if we don't do that, they'll never learn how to listen to God. Quiet times. We had Christmas yesterday, celebrated our family time together, and really had three wonderful gatherings with my side of the family, Jenny's side of the family, and then just our children. Valerie with us yesterday, and just slow life down. And just, can we each share two blessings from God? And you know, you get so caught up with life that to slow and just think and let God bring two blessings to your mind. You think God wants to speak that? He does. He wants to do that in your life. You think God wants you to prompt you to pray for somebody? God wants to speak, friend. God wants to speak. You think He wants to direct? You think He wants to impress upon you to witness to somebody? I want to challenge us in our church services. Every person who's not teaching or taking care of a child in a classroom or a nursery should be all ears to the ministry of the Word. I know we got different things going on. I know from time to time somebody has to step out for an emergency. I know we have ushers in the back that are watching things, watchmen with screens downstairs. But may I remind you, don't lose your craving for the Word. Don't lose your craving for the Word. Sight and sound men, may I remind you to get to other services where you can hear the Word of God. Over the years, it's been very easy to backslide up in that sound room. And I appreciate these men, these ladies that help with that. But remember, I want to remind you, if you're going to grow, you have to hear the Word of God. One of the sound men just joined, I think it was Nick, just joined the sound ministry. Praise God, we need help, right? Nick told me, Pastor, I realized first time up there, I'm not going to be able to hear much. So he said, I went home and I listened to the message at home because I wanted to hear the message. If you sense your responsiveness to God's Word is slipping, you must recommit yourself to hearing. I want to encourage our mothers this morning to put your small children in the nurseries and 2 and 3 year old classes so that you can hear the Word of God for no other purpose. Oh, yeah, they might get bit. I don't know. I have no idea. And this isn't a doctrine. I'm not trying to press anybody, and you're wicked if you don't. But what I'm saying is this. Put a priority on hearing the Word of God in your life. Truth is, we can have children and hold children and keep children in our services, and I don't mind that. I mean, a mother's connected to her child. And I understand that. I understand that very, very close need and all of that. But when it's preaching time, when it's Word of God time, you got to have that time with the Lord. God wants to speak to you, and it's hard for Him to speak to you when there's a baby crying in your ears. There's noise. To hear Him, we have to open up our ears. In Isaiah chapter 50, you're there. The Bible says in verse number 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in a season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my what? Mine ear to hear as the learned. Every morning, Isaiah was saying, He wakeneth my ear. He opens my ear. Boy, there's a heart in me to hear from God. How about you this morning? Is there that kind of heart on a daily basis? God, talk to me today. I need you to speak to me. Verse number 5, the Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I say, there must be a craving to hear, and then there must be a commitment to answer. I'll finish with this thought today. There must be a commitment to answer. Psalm 90, verse 12. Turn there if you would. Psalm 90, verse 12. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days, that we may what? Apply. Apply. What does that mean, preacher? It means the Word takes root. It means the Word grows to where it affects me. It changes the way I'm living. It changes the way I'm thinking. It changes my perspective of what I'm facing. It changes my priorities in my life. When I apply it, it changes me. That's what the word does. If I apply it, if I respond to it, if I obey it, if I yield to it, it changes me. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 2, Solomon told his son, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. The reason I'm writing all of these things and teaching you is so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And in my Bible, I have circled heart and ear, heart and ear, heart and ear. Christian, basic Christianity, ear and heart. Open your ear, apply your heart. That's growth. And when that stops happening, when we stop hearing, or we hear and we stop applying, no more growth. It stopped. As we listen to God, we should answer God. Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Without application, without keeping God's word, without doing it, without following it, without making the necessary changes to bring your life and your family into line with God's word, there is no growth. Do you understand? If the word's not touching us, there is no growth. If it's not affecting us, when we don't answer God, when we don't respond, it reveals a dullness in our hearts. As you're hearing the Bible, like hearing the freeway noise on the turnpike, or when you hear music in the dentist office, or the way you hear recorded warnings at the airport, this is a smoke-free facility. You hear it, but you don't. Like it comes through, and it goes right out. When there's no application, no efforts being made, no sin is being confessed, no yielding to truth is taking place, no brokenness, lots of dry-eyed services, no altar being visited, no burden for the lost being deepened, no changes made to be more holy unto God. No roots plucked out of your life. And no Christian growth. If you're Christian, we have to overcome unresponsiveness. I ask you this morning, would you think the Spirit of God would call unbelievers today to make a renewed commitment to hear from God and to respond to God every time He speaks? Let's say you've been given a beautiful card by a family member and you read it in their presence. There are lots of words of affirmation and appreciation, words of love in that card. They're sitting there in front of you. They're sitting in the room, you open the card, you read it, you put it down, and never make any reference to it whatsoever. What kind of response does the other person interpret? That did not affect them. We're sitting in front of God's word today that He's written. Words of affirmation, words of encouragement, words of appreciation, words of challenge, words of help. And dare we walk away, communicating to Him it had no effect. We answer God in humility. Abraham fell on his face. Lots of people fell on their faces. Ezekiel fell on his face. The unclean spirits even had enough humility to fall on their face before God. We don't fall on our faces anymore. Well, preacher, we're in the 21st century, you know. We do church a little differently, you know. Now, I studied the Bible. One of the ways that people showed humility was they fell on their face. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees. Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet. You see, we answer God. We ought to answer God with a spirit of humility. We ought to answer God with a spirit of submissiveness. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Lord, this isn't going to look good at all. But Lord, you do it your way. That's submissiveness. We answer God with a plea of mercy when he reveals judgment. Maybe this morning you're sensing those days of vanity and years of trouble. Preacher, I'm living some of that out in my life. What should I do? You ought to come and plead for mercy. That's what you ought to do. That's what we find the psalmist did in Psalm 51, David. Have mercy on me, O God. David knew judgment. David was living through judgment, but David cried out in mercy. That's a response. That's a godly response when he speaks to us in judgment. We ought to answer by God by praising him for what he has revealed about himself. We certainly see that in Hannah, when Hannah was told by Eli that she was going to have the child. Boy, she rose up early and she worshiped God. That was a heart response. That was, God, you spoke to me. God, you assured me. God, you gave me a promise. God, I praise you. That's a response. We ought to answer in faith, believing and obeying his word. We ought to answer by repenting and changing our mind with intention of changing our ways, brethren. There are lots of responses. It'd be a good study for you to search the scriptures on biblical responses to when God speaks. We're in a new year. Speaking to a lot of people that I know for a long time. Good Christian people. But good Christian people hit plateaus. I do. You do. And in order to stay on the path of Christian growth, or to get back on the path of Christian growth, we have to become responsive. Hear and respond. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,